heard of some of the Christian classics like Knowing God by J.I. Packer, or maybe The Pursuit of God, or The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. I don't think any of these books were written without considering the words that we will be looking at today in Philippians chapter 3. So would you turn there with me? Philippians chapter 3. I also come to the conclusion that you know you've arrived when they start referring to you by your initials. C.H. Spurgeon, A.W. Tozer, and so forth. So when they start calling me K.A. Schweitzer, I know then I've arrived. Don't start calling me that. My mom calls me Keither, if you want to call me that. Things you learn from the pulpit. In chapter 2, Paul had stated that he wanted to know the state or about the people of the church of Philippi. But in chapter 3, he really discusses how he wants to know the Lord. And there is a difference between knowing there is a God and knowing God. There's a lot of people that believe that there is a God, but they don't know Him. And I want to talk to you today about that transition from religion to relationship. And when I talk about religion, I'm in particularly talking about a religion that doesn't have a relationship with God. Because I think there's sometimes where we in our Christian lives live this life more like a religion than we do a relationship. Let's go to the Father in a word of prayer regarding that. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, and we understand that when we got saved, we then entered into this father-child relationship. In fact, your Son taught us that we are to pray to our Heavenly Father, and when we pray, we are to call you Father. I find that interesting. Israel only once called you Father in all the Old Testament. But now that we enter into this relationship, we are to refer to you as Father, Abba, Father. And it says that even in our unperfected state, you would refer to us as your sons and daughters. So what an incredible relationship we entered into when we bowed the knee of our heart and we confessed that we needed you. And we trusted, believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, we trusted in that alone to get us to heaven. So we entered into a relationship, but for some, that's where the relationship kind of ended. And at times, for all of us, we're tempted to live this life more like a religion than we are a relationship. And so I pray that today we'll take practical truths from your word and apply them to our lives, and really maybe even transition our lives from merely looking at it as a religion to looking at it as a relationship with you and knowing you. Please guide in the time that we have together. We're so easily distracted. We're so quick to look down to a phone or to a note or to someone near us and be distracted. And so, Father, may we purpose in our hearts to focus on your word and what is being said about it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first of two truths I want us to consider today are found in the opening verses of chapter 3, beginning with verse 4. And I'm going to go down through verse number 7. About how you must understand the loss of religion. And again, when I'm talking about the loss of religion, I'm looking at it in, from Paul's perspective, religion that was without a relationship. Because Paul was steeped in a religion, but he didn't have any relationship with the Lord. Now, when I talk about this, I'm going to primarily be directing this to a great extent to those who are caught up in religion and never have had a relationship with the Lord. But it can be applied to us as well who are in a religion, but also the relationship. I mean, we do believe in religion, pure religion the Bible talks about in James. But we only believe in a religion that's based upon a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and nurtured by His Spirit. And so I want us to see that we have to understand there has to be that loss of religion. And look what Paul notes here, beginning in verse number 4. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, he says that this man that I am, this person that I am, I could have confidence that I'm heading in the right direction. I could have confidence that I'm trying to please the Lord, that I'm trying to do the things that are right. He says, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, he said, I hate to say it, but I have more. In fact, he goes on to say, he says he was of the stock of Israel, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, he says he was a Pharisee, which meaning he was staunch in religion, he was of the tribe of Benjamin, he wasn't a proselyte, he was a pure Jew. And he had grown up pursuing keeping of the law, and even to the extent of becoming a Pharisee of keeping the law, which was beyond the law. And in fact, in verse number 6, he said he was persecuting the church, and that would sound strange to us. You say, well, what do you mean he's religious if he's persecuting the church? Well, if you would read later on in some of his statements and what it says in the book of Acts, he was doing it thinking he was doing the Lord a favor. In fact, while he was doing it, he was coming to this conclusion, I'm blameless. And so we could say this, he was feeling rather well about himself. He was feeling good about himself. He's saying, you know what, I'm crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's. I've got all my bases covered. And so he was caught up in religion, that desire to please God by doing things. And he was really seeking that out. And then he goes on to say in verse number 7 that he had to come to this conclusion that they were all but lost. Now I want to say this. There are those that are seeking religion through doing things. And they are thinking, if I do enough good, then God will reward me with the opportunity to go to heaven. And the Bible says this, if you get to heaven through works, then God is a debtor to you, meaning this, God owes you. But I don't think any of us, if we think of it in its truth and reality, would ever come to this conclusion, I'm such a good person that God owes me eternity without any problems. I think if we all would think clearly through it, we'd say, I'm unworthy. I don't deserve that. Even on my best day, I don't deserve that. That God would give me an eternity of days in heaven with Him where there's no crime, there's no sickness, there's no heartache. But Paul, you know, he was feeling rather good about himself and on his religious side and the things that he was attaining, and he was kind of going through the measure of things. And maybe as a Christian, you're even doing that. Well, I'm better than others in the area. Look at my tithing and look at my faithfulness to church. And I'm giving out tracts and talking to people about the Lord. And again, sometimes we get caught up in the doing of things without the relationship. And there's nothing wrong. God has created us to be His workmanship, but He's only created us to do that in the relationship and because of the relationship, not to have a relationship. If you're doing those things in order to have a relationship or in order to impress God, you're still missing the mark. You're still falling short of glorifying God. What He wants you to do is He wants you to do all of those things, but He wants you to do it because you love Him. He wants you to do it because you have a personal daily relationship and walk with Him. He wants you to do it because He is your Father and you are His child. And so, at times we have to recognize the loss of religion. And look what Paul goes on to say then, in verse number, starting in verse 7. but what things, plural, were counted, were gained. And that's actually, again, a word for plural. It's a plural root to that word. So even the word gain, those, what things, plural, were gain, again, that has the idea of it's something that's plural to me. Those I counted loss, and they're singular. That doesn't necessarily seem like a huge point, but it really is. Paul says, when I take everything that I was, and he just kind of enumerated on some of those things just a moment ago in the verses prior to this, in being a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and being of the tribe of Benjamin, of being a Pharisee, regarding persecuting the church and counting himself blameless, he said, I can take all of that and just wrap it together and find it as one giant loss. What's he saying? I missed the mark with all of that. I thought I was pleasing God. I thought I was climbing the spiritual ladder. And the reality of it is, it was all empty and vain and worthless with God. In fact, look as it goes on to verse number 8. Yea, doubtless, I count all things, again plural, but loss, again singular. Yeah, I take it all, and I wrap it together, and I count it but loss. For the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus, of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss, again singular, of all things. Again, he's just saying, take it all that I had. And so maybe the way you have been living this life, and maybe you've been caught up in religion, and maybe you are trying to do things, maybe even your attendance today is trying to make sure that you stay on the right side of God, and that you would earn enough points with God in order to get to heaven. And I want you to know, dear friend, all of that, you wrap it up as loss. It's worthless. In fact, the Bible says all of our righteousness are what with God? Filthy rags. Worthless, useless with God. And so what Paul is recognizing here, in fact, three times he enumerates on this fact, it all is loss. Everything is loss. Paul gave it all up for him. Paul says, you know what? I can replace all of that with God. With a personal, walking, vibrant relationship with God. In fact, once Paul got saved, he didn't go back to all of that. In fact, instead of persecuting the church, he started planting churches. In fact, instead of seeing himself as blameless, he saw himself as a sinner. Oh, wretched man that I am. He says, the good that I should be doing, I'm not doing. And the things I shouldn't be doing, I am doing. In fact, his whole world turned around. His whole world turned upside down. And so Paul really gave it all up for the Lord. And we need to stop and consider, am I counting all the things that I'm doing for loss, in fact, in comparison to having a relationship with the Lord? So secondly then, and just let's just move right from the first point of understanding the loss of religion to you must pursue then the gain of the relationship. This then is what we ought to be pursuing. It's the gain of the relationship. And we're going to see that really throughout verses 9 to 10, 8 through 10. And we're also going to pull in a couple other passages for brief consideration as well. But let's go back to verse number 8 here and look what he says here. Yea, doubtless. It's unquestionable. And I count all things but loss for the excellency. Notice what he was going after. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now it's interesting the word win there. It's like, what do you mean to win Christ? Does that mean I did enough good that he's on my side now? Did I win him over? No. It's actually the root word for the word we read earlier, verse number 7, where it says, what things were gained to me? So what is Paul recognizing here? He said, I am willing to give up all of those things that, so that I can gain Christ in my life. In fact, you know what? That's exactly was the point of contention and struggle and change in the Jewish people's lives at that point in time. And it's different for us as Gentiles, but let me talk through this a minute, especially if you're here and you're not sure you're really a child of God from, we're talking about from a totally biblical standpoint. A Jewish person had to come to this point in their lives where they recognized, wait a second, keeping the law isn't going to get me to heaven. In fact, the law only shows me that I'm a sinner. And offering all these sacrifices, why, I never quit giving sacrifices. In fact, I'm sacrificing every day. Why? Because I'm a sinner every day. And what had to happen in a Jewish person's life is they had to come to this conclusion that I'm a sinner that needs a Savior. I need a perfect sacrifice. And John the Baptist identified him and introduced him by saying, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And that's what exactly a Jewish person had to come to this conclusion. I don't need my sin covered. I need it taken away. By the way, that is repentance. When a Jewish person recognizes keeping the law isn't going to get me to heaven, but Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, there's the Lamb that's going to take away my sin, changing their mind from trying to keep the law to trusting in Christ is biblical repentance. Biblical repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of life. We often look at repentance from an English standpoint, from today's language, and miss the biblical point of repentance. Now today, we don't have a group of Gentiles who are trying to keep the law. I mean, we might boil it down to the 10, but again, the Gentiles never had a law. We were never under the law. What did he say? He's going to give us a conscience and he's going to work in our hearts and that's going to be our law. And what is he going to do? He's going to take away the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, a tender heart, so that when we sin, we have a conscience that pricks us and reminds us that we're a sinner. And we come to the same conclusion that a Jewish person would come to. I am a sinner and need a Savior. And again, that's repentance. We've changed our mind from seeing, I think I'm good enough to get to heaven. I think I can do enough good to get to heaven. I think I can attend enough services. I think I can do enough good deeds. I think I've been a good enough boy. Tell you what, I've never been a good enough boy. And when we come to repentance is when we recognize, I can't do this. I can't please Him. There's not enough good in me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there's none righteous. No, what's it say? Not one. Does that include you? It does. And so now Paul has come to this conclusion. I can't get Christ without letting go all of that. You can't get Christ without letting go religion. You can't get Christ without letting go the works and recognizing that won't please God. And he says, you know what, when I let all that go, and you know what, that had to be quite a day. I wonder what his parents thought. You know, for Jewish people, this is taught, and this is tradition. And they pass it down from generation to generation, and this is the pursuit, and it would be similar to some lifestyles even in our community where if you walk away from it, you're shunned. And Paul was willing to give all of that up, and he says, you know what? It's worthless. That I might gain or win Christ. And so Paul was recognizing there's a total transformation when you turn to Christ. And he was not wanting to continue on in what he once was. So let's turn with me now over to Galatians for a minute. I want to look at Galatians chapter 2. We're just a couple pages away. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So just a couple pages before where we were. Galatians chapter 2, same writer, the Apostle Paul, writing to a different church. This church not far away, but was in Galatia instead of Philippi. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 16 of chapter 2, and I'm only reading verse 16 to give us the flow into verse number 17 and then jump to verse 20. But he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. He says, you don't get justified or declared righteous by keeping the law, but you get justified or declared righteous by having faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. So he says, if while I'm trying to be justified through Christ, I find myself to be a sinner, is that God's fault? You see what Paul is really nailing here? He's not talking to the unrighteous. He's not talking to the lost. He's talking to Christians. And what was happening here in the church of Galatia is they had Judaizers that was trying to say to them, well, you can't be a good Christian without keeping the law. And so they were trying to get them to turn back to focusing on the law and not focusing on Christ. And Paul comes to this conclusion. He says, if we are found sinners in this church, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Look what he says in verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so what Paul was recognizing is, no, I'm now a child of God. I've been set free from the curse of the law. And Paul recognized now he's no longer under the law. He's now under grace. And what is grace's demand? Grace's demand is not keeping the law, but grace's demand is becoming like Christ. Now notice what he says here. At times we're found a sinner. Would you go back with me now to Philippians chapter 3? And I want to start in verse number 8, but follow right through into verse number 9. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Look at the last 5 verses, that I may win or gain Christ. And, verse 9, and be what? And to be found in Him. There is relationship. Everything else was religion. What is he seeking for? He says, you know what? I want to enter into a relationship with God. So dear Christian, if the emphasis of the Bible is all about relationship, then how is your Christianity? How deep is your Christianity? How wonderful is your Christianity? How pleasing to God is your form of Christianity? If the emphasis is on relationship and not the religion or the doing of things, how rich? Do you know he says that he wanted to give us not only eternal life, but abundant life? And if we're not careful, we'll be satisfied by just having salvation. And we'll be satisfied by just having religion. And we'll miss the core, the key to it. And that's the relationship. He says, you know what? I want to win Christ or gain Christ, but I also want to be found in Him. I also want that personal relationship and that personal walk. Let's carry on in verse number 9, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which would be religion, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God. So notice, the key to my righteousness is not me doing and not me not doing things. The key to my relationship with God and my being righteous is faith in Jesus Christ. Trusting Him. You see, I've come to this conclusion. My best attempts at being perfect without the work of Christ in my life are still short of bringing God glory. What if I would just determine all day today, man, you know what? I'm not going to swear today. I'm not going to listen to any bad music today. I'm just going to focus all day long. I'm just going to key in. I'm going to be really careful. I'm not going to say anything bad. I'm not going to listen to anything bad. I'm not going to watch anything bad. I am just going to, man, all day long. And if I got to the end of, hey, I did it! I went 24 hours. God would say, big whoop. Does God say big whoop? I don't know if God says that. God doesn't want us living that way. God wants us walking in a relationship with Him. And our righteousness coming out of the relationship, not out of just us determining we're not going to do wrong. You can go all week. Well, I don't think you can, but I can't. But you could go all week and not commit a sin and still not glorify God. Because it's not your righteousness that He wants. He has all the righteousness He wants in His Son. So He just wants you to have a relationship with Him. And from that, He'll give you the strength to be right. And Galatians chapter 5 says, if we walk in the Spirit, we can't fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, it's through the relationship that He wants righteousness, not through us determining, I'm not going to do that again. And so what happens is we miss the mark because we don't give up religion. And again, a religion that has no relationship. He says, you know what I want? I want to win Christ and be found in Him. And then he talks about that excellency of the knowledge. Did you notice that? And I looked that up. It's only 5 times that word is ever used throughout the New Testament here. And one place, or 3 places, it's in Philippians. And one of it is found in chapter 4 and verse number 6. And he talks there about how which is beyond our understanding. And he says, you know what? A knowledge of Christ far surpasses anything we can do on our own. So again, what does he do? Boil it down? He boils it down simply to a relationship. In fact, if you would, take a moment and go to Colossians chapter 2. Again, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So it's the next book. Go to chapter 2, so we're only like 2 pages away. These are 2 lovely, lovely verses. And I'm not, when I say that, I'm not saying others aren't lovely, but just the dynamic of them. Look at verses 9 and 10. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And what is that verse saying? It's saying, in Christ you will find everything that's in the Father. The word Godhead there is not actually talking about the Trinity. It's not talking about quantity, it's talking about quality. He's saying all of the qualities of God are found in Christ. And guess where I'm complete? In Him. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head over all principality and power. Now think about this. I, as a Christian, am complete in Christ, who is just like God, who has authority over everything that wants to cause me to sin. So if I don't want to sin, who do I need to trust in? My religion or my Savior? He says, I want to be found in Him. I'm complete in Him. In fact, without Him, you're incomplete. And sadly, sometimes we try to go through this Christian life on our own and not in His strength. So Paul goes on. Let's go to Philippians, and we're almost done. You know, it's kind of like this. Paul's kind of, as a Jew, I tried to conform to the law here in Philippians chapter 3. But as a Christian, I have a higher standard. It's bigger than the law. I'm trying to be like Christ. He says, as a lawkeeper, I tried to stay out of trouble, but as a God-pleaser, I just tried to become like His Son. That's the point he moved from religion to relationship. He was no longer focused on Him becoming righteous. He was righteous in Christ. It's now focusing on a relationship with God. So the focus went from what do I need to do to what do I need to know? If this isn't about me doing, then what do I need to know about Him? In fact, isn't that the point he's really driving at here in verse 8 and then again in verse number 10 where he talks about I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And look at verse number 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. And how do I know that? Being made conformable unto His death. And so Paul says, you know what? It's not about what do I do. It's what do I need to know. And dear friend, I want you to know, even as a Christian, and maybe you're faithfully attending week after week after week, we can still get caught up in religion. And we can still get caught up in doing. And Paul says, you know what? I put that off. And I found it gain. And you know what? I thought, how peaceful that must have become. I don't have to try to keeping all these laws anymore. I don't have to wonder if a Pharisee's looking at me. He also was a Pharisee, but he was looking at others to see if they're keeping. Can you imagine all these spies? These Pharisees were all like spies and tattletales. Can you imagine? Whew, I don't have to worry about that anymore. I just want to know Him and be found in Him. And I just want to make sure He's pleased. You see, you can be coming here every week and not have any peace. Because you're not growing in that relationship with the Lord. And you know, part of that, your friend then, is just getting into His Word every day. You know, as you come here, I hope I keep the living Word alive. You know, when you preach, you don't want to deaden that which already is filled with life. I don't want to make boring that which is exciting. And so I trust as I preach, it's like, you know, man, this is good. And be like, I'm up here with an orange or something like that, and I'm peeling it, and instead of my spit flying, the orange juice is flying, you know, and you see the juice of the orange, and I could show you how juicy it is, and I could take a bite, and you could see my, man, this orange is good. And you could begin to drool where you are, and I'm hoping you do a little bit biblically and spiritually and think, Wow, you know, I can't wait. And your mind's about, I can't wait till next Sunday. You don't have to wait till next Sunday. This afternoon? Tomorrow? You can break open that same bread of life. And say, God, would you show me something? Would you show me something to get excited about? Man, pastor's always excited about what he's preaching and teaching, and him won't ever shut up. And that is a problem. Would you show me something? Because, Father, it's a long time from Sunday to Sunday. I need help sometimes on Tuesday. And instead of me being the one feeding and telling you how good it is, you know what it says? He'll give understanding even unto the simple. It's one of the categories of fools. You know, I can't understand that word. I mean, it's above my head. I didn't go to college. You don't have to. He can teach a child from this book. You don't need a man to teach you, the Bible says. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. He wants to open the eyes of your understanding that you might know. He talks about in the book of Ephesians, his first chapter. He wants you to know. So the God that wants you to know will teach you if you're willing to be still and know that He's God. And just say, seek Him while He may be found. And just, would you feed me something, Father? You're going to find throughout. You might not say, would you feed me something, Father, and then go to the first chapter of Second Chronicles or something like that, where it's a little bit more difficult to find the truth to feed your soul. But I want you to know, if you're searching and longing for a relationship and not merely a religion, He will give you a peace beyond all understanding. And Paul says, I want that type of knowledge that would surpass everything else I had in religion. And I'll gain with that a peace only a child of God would know. Dear Christian, you don't have to live through religion. You can live through a relationship with God. And He will feed you through His Word. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. And He'll give you to drink. He'll feed the hungry soul. Break thou the bread of life. Let's pray.